Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. Bethley and I are so happy you have joined us again today. We are beginning today a two-part conversation about ways that we can reach out to our teenagers and develop a closer relationship with them. I hope you enjoy this. I think you will. And let's get started right now. Well, we are ready to jump in today, and we're still talking about conflict resolution. Several things, it all kind of runs together after a while, and we comment on different things here and there, but we thought it would be a good thing today just to talk about four ways you can develop a closer relationship with your teen.
Yes.
And we've hit on some of these things, we've touched on them, but we thought it'd be good to put them all together in one episode. Mm-hmm. So where we're repeating ourselves a little bit, just bear with us, and we wanted to zero in. Because conflict resolution is so important to make sure that we're all on the same page, that we handle different issues as they come up. And it's a wonderful thing to be a parent. Let's just start there.
Yes.
And it's a wonderful thing to parent teenagers. When Bethany and I had little ones, I remember one lady said to us in a revival, she said something to the effect of, the reason you like your kids so much is because they're not teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember that?
That was
years ago. And we would have people periodically, comment about that. Don't you wish they could stay babies the rest of their life? And people be like, oh my word, the teen years. But I really do believe that God's plan is that the teen years are something we navigate together with great joy and great blessing and great victory. And it doesn't mean they're not difficult years at times, because Right. Our teens are becoming less dependent on us and more
Yes.
independent themselves, right?
Yes.
And so how do you maintain that relationship? How do you build that relationship that helps you to, the closer the relationship, the easier it is to navigate conflicts.
Absolutely.
And we've seen that so many times in our life.
Yes.
And when we're close, we, it doesn't mean that conflicts are like, hey, isn't this just amazingly beautiful? It's not that at all.
No.
Conflicts are always conflicts.
Yes.
And anytime you got a kid that, you're dealing with an attitude, or you're dealing with a submission issue or a spiritual issue or a
Yes.
rebellion issue,
mm-hmm.
Those are just always hard. So there's never a time when it's going to, the goal is not that, oh my goodness, we just have never had any problems at all with our teen.
Mm-hmm.
We can expect there to be conflicts and challenges. But
Yes.
here are just four ways you can develop a closer relationship with your teen that will really, really, really help you to navigate any conflict that comes your way.
Yes.
And so just remember, start here. This is not one of the ways, but just by way of introduction, remember that proper training is essential. Mm-hmm. And the better trained our kids are, the more simple it becomes to handle conflicts.
Right.
Right. And so you that have little ones, you that are raising toddlers that are listening to us, you don't have teens yet, but the more you train them when they're toddlers, the more you train them when they're children, the more you teach them obedience and to be submissive and to have a sweet spirit and to respond appropriately to authority.
Right.
The better job you do there, the better it's going to be when they're teenagers.
Right. It's just a lot easier if you put the time in when they're smaller. It does not mean that you can't do some character training after their teen years, because there will be things that come up that have not come up in, let's say, the toddler years or the elementary school years. All of a sudden, your teen is doing something you've never seen before, because they are growing and, as David said, becoming independent. And of course, they've got all those hormones and all that growth going on in their life. So there may be something new, and you'll need to develop a character trait in them. So it doesn't mean you can't train in the teen years, but it is a lot easier to at least have your basic training of obedience, and this is how we behave in our house, so that when it is bucked a little bit, could I say it that way, as a teen, it's kind of normal for a teen boy who has been taking the trash out since he was 7 years old to all of a sudden, as a 14-year-old, not want to take the trash out. I don't want to do that job anymore. Well, you can just remind him, sweetly, I'm sorry, in our house, that is your job. You're the oldest boy, and we're going to pass that on to you. And when you move on and have other responsibilities, maybe when you're a little bit older, we'll give it to your little brother, or maybe we can share things. But right now, you already know what your responsibility
right.
is. You've already trained that.
Absolutely. So it's important that we're just training. And don't think in the sense, in what I just said there, and Bethany's right, the teen years are times of training, but they're discipleship training. Because at that point, mm-hmm. we're not necessarily training obedience. We're reminding of obedience. It's really yes. hard if you've not taught obedience when they're 3 and 4 and 5 to teach it when they're 13, 14, and 15.
Very true.
But when if you've taught obedience when they're 3, 4, and 5, when they're 13, 14, and 15, you can be discipling. And helping them to learn to navigate these waters of independence.
Right.
And all of that. So proper training is incredibly helpful. And by way of introduction, one more thought here. Remember that genuine relationships are always built.
Right.
Think of it in terms of marriage. I was preaching last night about the family a little bit, and I just reminded the audience that we fall in love and marry each other because of the relationship we build. Mm-hmm. And he pursues and she responds and she pursues a little bit and he responds. And as you begin to grow into that relationship, you fall in love.
Right.
And what happens many times in a divorce situation is a couple that were madly in love, mm-hmm. so much so that they proposed and said, I do, and went on a honeymoon and made a vow they were going to live the rest of their life to get, together till death do us part mm-hmm. for better or for worse and all those kind of things. Well, once you stop building the relationship, then that begins to deteriorate the marriage.
Right.
And if we're not careful in the teen years, we stop building the relationship. Mm. The teen has, all of a sudden their life gets very busy, especially if you have a public school kid or a Christian school kid. And there's ball games 3, 4, 5 nights a week, plus church one night if you're into the Wednesday night service and you're, right. going to be faithful to church. And in a sense, the teen years can become so busy that you pass each other in the hall at home as the kid is running to another ball game. And especially as our kids get old enough to start driving, a lot of people buy their kids a car. And the next thing you know, you're not even a car together anymore. Your kid's always running to church on his own.
Right.
And sometimes he's taking his siblings with him. And, mm-hmm. and it just becomes a time when the family's all divided. So relationships have to be built.
They do. And again, this is a good thing to start when they're little, taking that time. And I know when they are tiny, tiny, most of your time is in the training and the taking care of them. So you're dressing them, you're feeding them, you are reminding them of obedience. You're doing all of those kind of things, and we can sometimes forget that our relationship also needs playtime, it needs cuddle time, it needs reading time, all of those things. So don't get so busy with your little ones that you're not already building that relationship, because if you've been too busy to do more than just the daily with your child, by the time they're 13 or 14, they expect it's just going to be the daily, and they're too independent for you to dress them, feed them, all of that. And so even the daily is not enough for a connection for your teen.
Sure. So now you that are in the teen years of training and raising and all of that, here are 4 ways. And I think we have time to give you all 4 of them today. Here are just 4 steps you could take that will help you towards continuing to build the relationship with your teenager, which will help with conflict resolution.
Yes.
And the first one is one we've talked about so many times on our podcast, but we're just going to keep bringing it up because it's all over the Bible and it's a massive part of life.
Right.
And it's a massive area where we can easily fail.
Yes.
And so here's the first one. Number one, it'll take communication.
Mm-hmm.
Talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and never letting that die.
Right.
The more we talk with a teenager, the more we connect with a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And, and our forefathers, I think, had it maybe a little more easy or a little easier than we did
mm-hmm.
in the sense that, the boys would work with dad in the fields.
Mm-hmm.
The kids walked to school together. Mom and the daughters cooked and cleaned. And then in the evening, there was not a television, so we would have a meal together.
Right.
And many times you'll see photos in the old days of a family sitting around the fire. Mm-hmm. Somebody's reading, somebody's knitting, somebody's talking. And so it was communication was a little, I think it was a little easier back then.
Well, we didn't have all the distractions. I was even thinking last night, we were in our RV after our evening service, and we had gotten our, something to eat, and Charity was working on a Sudoku puzzle. And
actually, she was playing chess last night.
Oh, there we go. Sorry. She was playing chess with the computer, and David was reading, and I was reading, and then we all decided it's time to go to bed. Well, at that time, I'm thinking, bed. I'm just going to head to bed. And Charity decides, oh, we haven't been talking, and I have so much to tell you. And so I had to put my book down and just focus on her. And I was reading a book on my phone. So it looked like she kept saying, are you on social media? And I said, no, I'm reading. So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to put that down. I'm going to put it down and I'm going to listen to my little girl. And I know that during those teen years, sometimes the time that they want to talk is not a convenient time for us, especially if they like to wake up at bedtime like Charity does and like lot of our teenagers
do. There's no especially about that. Teens wake up at bedtime.
They do, and we're tired. We want to go to bed, and they're talking. So hang in there and keep that communication going as best you can.
Yeah, and here's a couple of things about it. If we're in the habit of talking normally, it makes it easier to talk through conflict.
Absolutely.
So we look for those communication times. As you're just walking through life, make sure you're talking. Don't allow the social media aspect of our life, the demands of a screen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess there were times when we would go like to a doctor's office. You would sit in a doctor's office. You would either read or talk.
Right.
And now we all stare at screens. And even sometimes we all get in a vehicle on our way to church, somebody has texted, so we're back on the screens again.
Right.
And that is part of our life. And it's not that any of those things are wrong. We live in this technological age where that is part of our life.
Right.
But what we have to do is be very careful that we are not allowing anything to hinder the communication we ought to be having with our teenager.
Absolutely. And I would even interject here, and we want you to listen to our podcast. And I listen to several podcasts, but that's another thing that can take me away from a child talking to me, is I'll have my earbuds in, I'm just happily cooking dinner or doing dishes or laundry or whatever, and I'm listening to my podcast, and I totally miss an opportunity if my child comes in to have a conversation, because they'll look at my ears and see, and they'll just, you know, oh, you're listening, it's fine, I'm just going to walk away. And instead of that, I need to push the pause and say, no, I can finish listening later, come have a conversation with me.
When my wife started first listening to a lot of podcasts with her earphones, I couldn't see them, and I would say something and she wouldn't answer. And I would be thinking, what's going on here? What did I do? And then I would be like, oh, she didn't even hear me because she's listening to whoever.
Yes.
And so it takes communication. Remember that expectations require good communication. You've been listening to Keeping It Young. Yesterday, we talked about ways to develop closer relationships with our teenager. I hope you will join us next time, and we will conclude this conversation. For more information or to hear more from Keeping It Young, simply visit tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. Today's program has been a co-production of TIL Radio and Keeping It Young. Thanks for listening, and remember to serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information, or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.